So Rabbi said, let's just review the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. The Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Tuf Reish Gimel says, with regard to the Mitzvah of Zechiras Amolek, and again, if you have the Sefer Achinuch in front of you, then maybe I could ask you to just double check on this, because again, we're going to have some different gears. So take a look at Tuf Reish Gimel, and I'm going to read to you what I think it should say, and you'll tell me if it does say so. It's Tavino Lizkar Masha Asa Molik Li Yisrael. Yes? No?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, fast forward to the end of the Sefer Achinuch in the same place. He says, V'noheges mitzvah zu b'chol makom u'b'chol zman bizcharin. Yes?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So again, this is not your own personal copy, but if it were, I would ask you to underline the word bizcharin, because that's gonna set off a bell, a very dangerous bell in the mind of the Minchas Chinuch when he limits the mitzvah to zecharin. Again, our women are so frum that they all come to hear the mitzvah of zechiras amolek, but it wasn't always that way, and certainly not according to the Sefer Achinuch. The mitzvah is limited to zecharin. And the Chinuch goes ahead and he explains why. Again, I'll read to you what I have here. Ki lahem lasos hamelchama v'nikmas ha'oyev lo l'noshim. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know this it's not a question as to whether or not the Chinuch exempts women. Not only does he exempt women, but he tells you exactly why the women are exempted. And my Rebbe Rav Soloveitcher used to make a big deal about this, because this proves that the mitzvah of Zechiras Amolek is connected, almost like an introduction, to the mitzvah of what? Melchias Amolek, correct. Melchias Amolek. So it works like this. If mitzvah A is an introduction to mitzvah B, then who's ever obligated to mitzvah B is ipso facto obligated to mitzvah A. Who's ever exempt from mitzvah B is ipso facto exempt from mitzvah A. In the case of Melchias Amolek, since women are exempt from Melchias Amolek, we'll have to see why, then women are exempt from the mitzvah of Zechiras Amolek, insofar as the Chinuch lays down the premise that the mitzvah of Zechiras Amolek is a preparatory or preliminary stage to the mitzvah of Melchias Amolek. And here's where the Minchas Chinuch goes ballistic. He says, how could this possibly be? We have a Mishnah in Sota that clearly indicates that women are obligated in a mitzvah Milchemes mitzvah. Now again, if you recall, we were vacillating back and forth whether Milchemes Amolek is a Milchemes mitzvah, it's not a Milchemes mitzvah. It seems that everybody who's worth anything in the Rishonim, they all assume that Milchemes Amolek is a Milchemes mitzvah. And not only that, to boot, the Sefer Achinuch himself writes that the mitzvah of Milchemes Amolek is a Milchemes mitzvah. And here, if you gentlemen could help me out and fast forward to mitzvah Tuf Chaf Hei, or how many pages do we have to? It's not that far. I mean, it's about let's say
Chaf Hei. There's no such thing.
Oh, there's no such thing as Tuf Chaf Hei.
You get the Taryag, you're done.
No, not Tuf Reish Chaf Hei. I meant to say, I'm sorry, if I said Tuf Reish Chaf Hei, I meant to say Tuf Chaf Hei.
Oh,
right? 425. And I'm hoping that you'll find there a line, which I have here, but I don't know if it's in your text, that Melchemes Amolek is a Melchemes mitzvah. And the Sefer Achinuch goes as far as to say that the Melech does not have to, what's called, go through a step which is called Netilas Rishus Mibeznin. Right? Let me just mention this for those who weren't here yesterday. The fundamental difference in halacha between a Melchemes Mitzvah and Melchemes Rishus is that whereas a Melchemes Rishus requires Netilas Rishus Mibeznin, you need a Bezna Gadol of 71, yeah. They have to give you the consent. You, meaning the Melech, you have to receive the consent of the Bezdin in order to take the Jewish troops out to a Melchemes Rishus. But in a Melchemes Mitzvah, we alleviate the Melech of that requirement, and he doesn't need the Tils Rishus.
Now, it says that here. Seriously, Tovah should be paid.
Excellent. So now, our barometer, if we want to determine whether or not, according to any particular Rishon, in this case the Chinuch, whether or not the mitzvah of, whether or not the Melchemes Amalek is classified as a Melchemes mitzvah, then we have to figure out whether or not you require Netilas Rishus. And the Sefer HaChinuch says in Mitzvah Tav Chaf Hei that in the case of Melchemes HaMolek, it's a Melchemes Mitzvah, and therefore there's no requirement of
Netilas Rishus. Shiva Amamim.
Shiva Amamim.
Oh, he doesn't mention anything about HaMolek?
No.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't read the whole thing.
Oh, the question is, what about Melchemes HaMolek? Does he mention HaMolek? That's the big question.
He says,
you know, go through the Sefer HaChinuch inside. It's a long piece. But just if we could isolate that one line where he commits himself to the view that Melchemes HaMolek does not require Netilas Rishus insofar as it's a Melchemes Mitzvah. And that leads us back to the Minchas Chinuch's question. How could the Sefer HaChinuch say that women are exempt from the Mitzvah of HaMolek when it's a mitzvah melchama? The Mishnah says in Sota that with regard to a melchemes mitzvah, noshim afilu kala yotzeis mechuposa. If anybody wants to write a note of it, it's in Sota daf mem dalid amid beis. Just if you want to look up that Mishnah, it's one of the most famous Mishnahs in Shas. Afilu kala mechuposa. Now again, the Mishnah doesn't mention Amalek, but the Mishnah just says that that's what's unique about a melchemes mitzvah. And the question now is, what's included in Melchemes Mitzvah? So we have the Chinuch, who, as far as Netilas Rishus is concerned, he waives the requirement because, in the case of Amalek, because it's a Melchemes Mitzvah, then, according to the Sefer Minchas Chinuch, then presumably, Hu Adin, as far as Noshim are concerned, meaning, if the Mishnah in Sota establishes that women are obligated to Melchemes Mitzvah, that's A. B, if we subsume Melchemes HaMolek as a Melchemes Mitzvah, then by the law of, when I was in college, they used to call it modus tollens. I don't know, they may have changed the names in my day, but then women are certainly obligated in the mitzvah of HaMolek. Let's just go over that one more time, just for me, not for you, but for me.
Shivam, he says, Beferish, the Schorim and the Kevah.
Right, so why not apply the same thing to HaMolek? That's the question here. If we assume that Melchemes HaMolek is a Melchemes Mitzvah, and in the case of the Sefer HaChinuch, he's outspoken about that. And if we assume, based on the Mishnah in Sota, that a woman is obligated to Melchemes Mitzvah, then by law of logic, women have to be obligated in the Mitzvah of HaMolek. And yet, the Sefer HaChinuch says, Bizcharim v'lo b'nei kevus, and women are not obligated in the Mitzvah of HaMolek. And therefore, he draws the next conclusion, which again is based on a system of logical premises, that women are not obligated to the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek. So this is the big mess of the Minchas Chinuch. The big question of the Minchas Chinuch. So again, in the past, just to keep you up to date, we've tried but failed, based on the Rambam Shita, which again is the Smag Shita. We're not sure it's the Rambam Shita, but anyway, it's the Smag Shita explicitly, that the mitzvah of Melchemes HaMolek has to wait until Mashiach. And if that be the case, then maybe in our time, the mitzvah of... So wait a second, I'm sorry, I jumped the gun a little. Before we get to the Smag about Mashiach, let's just mention the fact that Rashi Shita in Sota, when the Mishnah speaks about Melchemes Mitzvah, Rashi says, Kigon. Oh no, Rashi is even more explicit. He says, Kol ha-melchamos kulon he-melchemes rishus, chutz mi-melchemes Yoshua, lichbosh es Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi seems to assume that Melchemes HaMolek is Melchemes Rishus. If that be the case, then when the Mishnah Mishnah Sota obligates women in a Melchemes Mitzvah, it's referring, according to Rashi, to Yoshua and Kibush Haaretz, and Zayin Amamin, but it has no impact on Amalek. The problem is that the Sefer HaChinuch goes on record in Tav Chav Hei that Melchemes Amalek is a Melchemes mitzvah. Oh. At this point, we want to try a second attempt, you know, at trying to answer this question of the Minchas Chinuch. To answer the question of the Minchas Chinuch on the Sefer HaChinuch. Is it possible, this is what we want to investigate, that women are obligated in Milchemes Amalek and yet they're exempt from the mitzvah of Amalek? A and not A at the same time. How is that possible? Is it possible that when we talk about a mitzvah Milchama, for example, in the case of Zayin Amamim, and then we'll move from there to Amalek, we could talk about two different dimensions, or can we suggest, if you had a flowchart, that maybe the mitzvah of Milchama bifurcates, so to speak, into two fundamentally different subcategories. And what are these two subcategories? One category is Milchama per se, frontline battle. Dress up as soldiers, take your guns, and fight the enemy. The other branch is what we call supplies, provisions. It's called Ezras Yisrael, not in the front lines, but behind the front lines. And we'll soon see that there are Rishonim who speak about this explicitly. So let's for a moment discuss the case of Zayin Amamim, right? Hachrim Tachrim, and then it says Losachai Kol Neshama. There are those who are in the front line. You know, they're fighting the battle with Yoshua to destroy the Zayin Amamim. But you know what? We need people behind the front lines, right? We'll call it Ezras Yisrael. We need those who can supply the mazon and the mayim and whatever other provisions the soldiers need. Those soldiers also have to eat and drink. I have a nephew who tells me that in Milchemes Levanon they almost died because the Tzal had decided that all the Be'eros mayim there in that part of Levanon where they fought were absolutely undrinkable. Now, getting back to our sugi. Okay. Now, let's present the following thesis. The Gemara tells us that Nashim Lav Benos Milchamininu. How do we reconcile that with the fact that women are obligated, as the Mishnah codifies it in Sota, in a Milchemes Mitzvah?
That's referring to Reshut, and this is referring to Mitzvah.
No. Again, let me ask my question. I don't think you caught my question. I'm saying there seems to be a stirim in Eube, and maybe the Sefer HaChinuch is trying to sort this all out and figure out how to reconcile this contradiction. What is this apparent contradiction? On the one hand, the Mishnah establishes that women are obligated in Milchemes Mitzvah. On the other hand, we have a principle all over the place, there are many sources for this, in Shas and in Mechiltas and in Psiktas, that women are lav benos milchamanin. What could be a possible reconciliation? Rabbi, are you with me on this?
Fighting on the front line.
Exactly. That maybe what the Mishnah says, afilu kalam mechupasa, doesn't mean that she's in the lochamim, as we would call it. She's up there in the fighting unit, but that she's part of the mitzvah of Milchemes Amalek, but not in the capacity of a soldier, but rather in the capacity of lesapek mazon umayim, you know, lebnei Yisrael, who are fighting as lochamim in the front lines. Oh. Now, keep that in mind, and let's step back and ask a more fundamental question. We'll start with Zayin Amamim, okay, and then we'll get to Amalek. Who is obligated in the mitzvah of Milchemes Zayin Amamim? So if you look in the Rambam, Perkei Halacha Dalet, he says that even if one of the Knanim, for example, would show up and it's Baliyado and you have the ability to knock him off, you're obligated to that mitzvah. Meaning, it's not a Chovas Tzibur, or if we want to go, excuse me, if we want to go even further, we could say it's not a Chovas Mochamon, or I should be more precise, it's not, it doesn't exhaust itself in being a mitzvahs melchama. It's more than that. It's even a chovas yachid. Oh. Now we'll get to Amalek in just a minute, but let's talk about Zion Amun. If I were to tell you that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Zion Amun, and at the same time I want to maintain that Nashim la benos melchama ninu, then the very easy answer to would be the following. That although mitzvahs milchama per se, in the technical framework of fighting a battle, you know, frontal battle, face to face against our enemies, that's a chovas tzibur, and women are lav benos milchama ninhu, they don't have that obligation, I could still turn around and say that women are obligated in this mitzvah. Not as a chovas tzibur, i.e., at part of the misgeret of milchama, but rather as a chovas yachid, because with regard to chovas yachid, we're outside the framework of milchama, and the principle of benos of nashim la benos milchama ninu is not going to kick in. It's not going to be activated. I don't know if anybody followed what I just said, so let me try it again for myself. What we're saying here is that in Zion Amamin, since there's a mitzvah of Zion Amamin that applies outside of Milchama, this Knani shows up, and if I don't kill him on the spot, assuming all the conditions are met, then I violate the Yisur Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama, that's a Chovas Yachid, then now I can step back and say that the mitzvah of Zion Amamin, what word am I looking for? Overflows way beyond the narrow streets of Milchama, and that's where we can plug in the Chovas Nashim. So what we said before, that when the Mishnah says about a mitzvah Milchama, that women are agneh filukala michupasa, we're not talking about the mitzvah Milchama per se, they're not in the front lines fighting the battle, but rather they are in the Chovas Yachid perspective or framework, and that Chovas Yachid goes beyond Milchama. And that would mean two things. Number one, that the women are in the back lines and they're supplying the mazon u'mayim. And number two, it would mean that if a Knani would appear to a woman and she has the wherewithal of pulling his sword out and killing him, she'd be obligated to do so. Why? Because it's a mitzvah melchama. And insofar... No, what I meant to say was that it's again in the category of melchama, this melchama against the Zayin Amun is a melchemes mitzvah. Women, according to the Mishnah in Sota, are obligated to melchemes mitzvah. This does not mean the melchama part of the melchemes mitzvah, but the second part of the melchemes mitzvah, which is the chovas yachid. So that means that the overall category is called Melchemes Mitzvah, but when we break it down into its component parts, it has two fundamentally different component parts. One is technically and in a framework a Melchama, as I say, you know, Li Lachem Bahem, and the other is to destroy them. And to destroy them might mean that even if I meet them and I encounter them outside of a Melchama situation as a Yachid, I have to fulfill the mitzvah of Hachrim Tachrim and uphold the Aver of Lo Sechai called Neshama. That's where the Chovas Yachid comes in, and women could be included in the Chovas Yachid. And that doesn't do any irritation, or it doesn't in any way upset the principle of Nashim La Benos Milchamanin. Why? Because I'm not talking about sending them up to the front lines in the Mizgeret of Milchama. I'm talking about the overall mitzvah Milchama, which includes even a Chovas Yachid, when the Knani shows up and I have the ability to knock him off.
How about today, women do fight in battle?
I don't know. You know, the question is whether Nashim La Benos Milchama is a metaphysical principle or it's a practical principle. You know, is it psychological and sociological, or is it... You know, you remind me, Sammy, of the old question about Tav Lemei Tantan Du Milmesav Armelo. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, in other words, can I receive a get on behalf of a woman when I know that she wants to get out of the marriage, if you follow what I mean. Like a shchin, a mukashchin. So the Gemara says that a woman would rather be married even to a mukashchin than not be married at all. So the principle of zachin liyodim shalom b'fanav doesn't apply to receiving get. So those who argue, this was the... Yeah, what was he called in Bar Ilan? The something, emeritus, director of Bar Ilan, who I knew very well, but I'm not going to mention his name. I mean, the rabbi already did, but let's see. Oh, I should have shut it off. he wanted to claim that in our day, the principle of Tavla Meitan Tavdu doesn't apply because sociologically things have changed. My Rebbe was opposed to that because he felt it was derived from a Pasuk in Chumash, and you can't mess around with halachos that are derived from a Pasuk in Chumash. So I don't know about this principle of Lav Benos Mulchamininu, whether that's, you know, we have to research that. I'm not, you know, I'm just claiming ignorance. I'm not telling you one way or the other, whether it's some sort of existential principle in halacha or whether it's just a matter of sociology. I don't know. I don't want to get off on a tangent. I'll tell you why, because the logic here is so complicated, I'm going to lose it, and then I won't get back to it. So let's see the logic of it, okay? Now, the good news is, what the rabbi mentioned before, is that Chinuch goes on record as saying that women are obligated in Zayin Amamin. Now, we take that together with the fact that the Chinuch, like the Rambam, goes on record explicitly, and that's where we're going to see the different tefusim, of claiming that the mitzvah Zayin Amim has two parts to it. Number one, it's a chovas tzibur and melchama. Number two, it's a chovas yachid. Every time the Kanani comes by, the yesh lo biyado lachriso. And we'll believe that it will look in the various texts of the Sefer Achim. Now, why is that good news for me? Because what we're saying here is that Zayin Amim is a mitzvah, but it's a double header, if I can use that term. For those of you who are American and you're familiar with baseball, you remember a doubleheader. I once went to a doubleheader, and the second game lasted for, I forget if it was 22 innings or 24 innings. We dropped out after the 16th inning. You know, we just gave up, which was a shame because we had at that point seats behind the plate. Because everybody dropped out by it was the second game. It was like 9 p.m. already. You know, people were getting tired. Anyway, here's a double-headed mitzvah. The mitzvah of Mechias Zayin Amamin. Why? Because the Sefer HaChinuch, like the Rambam, indicate that in addition to the mitzvah of Melchama as a Chovas Tzibur, there's an additional mitzvah of a Yachin to kill the Knani if you have also the Yadav. And if that be the case, then maybe here's where we want to reconcile the stira between the fact that women are obligated to melchemes mitzvah for the Mishnah Sota, and that women are lav benos melchamenin. So it could be very possible that as far as benos melchamen, they're excluded, but that's not the be-all and the end-all of the mitzvah of Zayin Amamin, because the mitzvah of Zayin Amamin has another dimension, we'll call it the expanded dimension, that goes way beyond the framework of melchama, and that is a chovas yachid. Now, a chovas yachid, insofar as it's not a mitzvah melchama, and it doesn't upset the principle of labanos melchama, makes it into a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. Now, are women obligated in mitzvahs? Well, the answer is yes and no. They're obligated in lav zman grom mitzvahs, and they're potter from zman grom mitzvahs. But the mitzvah melchama zayin amamim is not a mitzvah seishas zman groma, and therefore there's no reason to exempt the women. So even if I don't want to put the full thrust and say, well, you know what, this is a Melchemes Mitzvah, and the Mishnah says that women have to go out of the chuppah, blah, 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 leave that all out. All I have to say is that I can identify one element of the Mitzvah of Milchama in the case of Zayin Amamim, which is not Milchama per se, and now I have to subsume that Mitzvah as a non-Zman Groma Mitzvah, and what do I produce? A Chiyuv for women. So when the Chinuch says that women are obligated in Zayin Amamim, I understand that very well. Because the Chinuch Lishitasu holds that there are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Zayin Amamim, including a Chovas Yachin, and that Chovas Yachin is outside of the framework of Melchama. I do no injustice to the principle of La Bedos Melchamaninu by including women in the Chovas Yachin of Zayin Amamim. And now the question is about Amalek. So the Rambam differentiates between what I call Perkei Halacha Dalid, which is Zayin Amamin, and Perkei Halacha Hey, which is Amalek. In the case of, if you have a page, I call it Reach Tova, you'll see on the bottom left that the Rambam in Perek Hey, it's the second Vehine, the Vehine on the left, Perek Hey Aloch Adalid, Mitzvah Saseh Lahachrim Shiva Amish, Neva Hachrim Tav, V'chol Shebo Liyado, you want to underline that? Echad Me'em, V'lo Arogo, Over below Saseh. Rabosai, that entire line, which appears in Halacha Dalid and establishes with regard to Zayin Amim Mechovas Yochid, is completely omitted in Halacha He with regard to Zecher HaMolek. V'lo Koshav Mashiach, again, open up the Rabbah because maybe there's a Girsa issue here, but at least the Girsa that we have doesn't mention this line. It's completely omitted. V'lo Koshav Kamosha Koshav Halacha Dalid Gavi Shivas Amimim Dechol Shebo Liyodo Echad Me'em V'lo Harago Over V'lo Saseh. So Rabosai, we may have the following conclusion. Mm-hmm. When the Rambam talks about Zayin Amim and Halacha Dalet, he's talking about a double header. When he talks about Amolek and Halacha, hey, it's a single game. It's a single header. What do I mean? Unless somebody pressed the wrong button in the Rambam and accidentally omitted a line, if we assume that that didn't happen, and the Rambam deliberately omitted that line that he was very explicit about, and it was in very big, bold, light letters, you know, neon lights, with regard to Zayin Amamim, that Kol Shebol Liyodo Echad Me'em Tzachovas Yochid, he omitted that in Amalek, if he did so deliberately, that's the way I was trained to read the Rambam, then we assume that in the case of Amalek, the whole mitzvah boils down to a chovas milchama. Again, I don't know where the chinuch fits in. We'll have to see about the chinuch. But do you realize what vista now could possibly open up in front of our eyes? In other words, we're using the Rambam. And we're not learning from what the Rambam says, but so much as what the Rambam doesn't say. But if we apply this principle to the Sefer HaChinuch, Rabosin, give me just 2 minutes of your attention if I can have it. No? Well, we'll get back to the Sefer HaChinuch again. We're going to read the Sefer HaChinuch. They're going to be two different Girsos in the Sefer HaChinuch. But let's just be very creative now. Let's forget about the Chinuch. You know what I mean? Let's just think in theory. If we can establish this fundamental difference, and we could say that whereas the mitzvah of Zayin Amamim has an additional dimension to it, a Chovetz Yochid outside of Milchama, whereas the mitzvah of HaMolek does not, and therefore the mitzvah of HaMolek is identical with the mitzvah Molchama, and that's it, then we're back to the original question that we asked about Benos, about Noshin Lav Benos Molchama Ninu. And we no longer have that option of introducing a Chiyuv that's outside of Molchama. So we don't have that luxury. We're left with a head-on collision. And the conclusion is going to be that women are not obligated to Mechiyas HaMolek, because Mechiyas HaMolek is a mitzvah of Milchama and only a mitzvah of Milchama. Now the question is, what about the Chinuch? Again, if we didn't have the Chinuch, we only had the Rambam, could this be possible? And then we'll have to see what the Chinuch says about it.
Yeah. You're reading the Rambam. The Rambam itself is very problematic. Forget the Girsa part. The whole halacha of the Rambam, except for the first few words, which we don't know what it means,
right,
is not talking about milchama. It's talking about kriyas haTorah, basically. That you have to remember Amalek. Mm. It doesn't talk about war against Amalek. And right, that's why you could argue, you know, if you see an Amaleki, you don't have to kill him.
But wait a second, doesn't the Rambam quote the pasuk Timcha Zecher HaMolek?
Yes, Timcha as Zecher HaMolek doesn't take. What does Timcha Zecher HaMolek mean?
Mm. He doesn't use the word Melchama explicitly.
Not at all. He says, our Girsa says, or the, I will put it, the correct Girsa says, Mitzasase La'abed Zera HaMolek, which implies Melchama.
And then he says, Shemar Timcha.
Our printed edition say Zecher Amalek.
Before the Shenemar.
Right. Shenemar, Timcha Zecher Amalek. The whole halacha is not talking about destroying Amalek, it's remembering Amalek.
Mm. So where then do we find in the Rambam the mitzvah of destroying Amalek? Is there another Rambam that maybe I'm missing over here?
Only at the beginning.
In Perek Aleph.
Perek Aleph, where it talks about Lahachris Zaro Shel Amalek. And there is no specific... if you read it this way, the way
Frankel... Can I borrow you around it just for a split second? I'll give it right back.
The way Frankel has it, it's talking about Lahachris... It's as I say, La'abed Zaro Shel Amalek.
La'abed Zaro Amalek.
Now that would fit in, right. And that seems to be the girsa of the Temanim.
Which one, Zera?
This one, Zera.
This one,
which seems to be the more correct one.
So let me just suggest the following, Rabbi. Again, this is very tentative because we want to get back to the chinuch. Our whole purpose here, our goal, is to answer up the minchas chinuch. But just tentatively, where does the Rambam stand on the following question? And again, I'm just going to present one view. You know, you know my style. You know, you can always just let me go and say, forget it. I don't accept this, Rabbi. But my question is, this guy in front of me is an Amaleki. Do I have to kill him? I don't know the answer to that question. And I'm just going to suggest how to analyze that question. The way that we should analyze the question, I think, is in the following way. Is the mitzvah of destroying Amalek a mitzvah milchama? And within the framework of milchama, I have to kill my enemy? Or is the mitzvah just to destroy every single Amaleki and it doesn't require milchama and therefore it's a chovas yachid? So again, I don't know the answer to that question, but one indication, again, you could find 50 riyas this way or the other, is the omission of one line. Now, you and I would have said, maybe the Rambam didn't feel compelled to write that line. But once I show you in the previous halacha that he did feel compelled to write that line, you wonder why he didn't repeat himself. Again, I'm not saying that this is machriyas akaf, because again, ultimately we want to determine the chinuch shita, but I'm saying within the framework of the Rambam, what happens if I see an Amaleki? Am I obligated to kill him? So the thing is that in the case of Zayin Amin, the Rambam went out of his way to address that question. And he says, I see a Knani, or a Yavusi, or a Gigoshi, and I have to kill him. Kol shebo liyodo echemem alocha dalet, velo harogo, hareza over velo saseh, and he didn't fulfill the mitzvah saseh. I'm just wondering why the Rambam didn't feel compelled to repeat himself. You can give 50 answers to my question, but one answer might be that in the case of Zera Amalek, and especially if you have that gears, then maybe the Rambam feels that that's a mitzvah of Melchama. And that's the way the Gevuras Yitzchak wants to take it. Again, I'm not saying the Gevuras Yitzchak is the final word, but he makes a big deal about the fact that the Rambam did not repeat himself on this major bombastic chiddush, which he formulates in the previous halacha regarding Zayin Amamin, Shekol Shebol Yodu Echem Velo Harogo Over Velo Saseh Bitalese. So again, if you just want to see it inside, I don't know if you have my underlines here, Resh Yud Ches on the left column, in the paragraph of Hine, about, if you drop down about 10 lines, you'll see a line that starts with the word Venire. And again, I'm not telling you, Rabosai, that this is Lakshin Kugel. You know what I'm saying? This is not the end of the road, but it's a very interesting proposal here. He says, Venire mizeh desvila l'arambam, decholuk mitzvah aseh dachromas shivas amim mimitzvahs, Mechias Amalek, meaning the Rambam deliberately omitted this line about Bali Yodo Echemem in the case of Amalek. The mitzvah Mechias Amalek eno mutol rak al atzibur vi eno mitzvah al kol yachid vi yachid. Lekach, kishe Bali Yodo Echemem in the case of Amalek, velo arogo eno over. Oh, wait a minute. Here's something interesting. The Sefer HaMitzvah around. Whoa. Okay, now we have to open up a different work of the Rambam. You know, the Rambam was very prolific. You know, we always think of the Mishneh Torah because that's the way we were trained from childhood, you know, open up the Mishneh Torah. But the Rambam wrote many other works. So we have to get a hold of a Sefer HaMitzvos. But again, if we rely on his quote, he writes the following. Ukishetistakel kol elu ha-mitzvah shekodam zichram. You know this is not the language of the Rambam because he wrote it in Arabic. So you can tell right away this is not the Rambam's golden pen. It's almost all ambiguous, you know. But he says, "Tistakel kol elu hamitzvah," or hamitzvos, maybe you should say, "shekadam zichram," where the Torah says, "Remember what they did to you." Ashetimtzim and mitzvah shem choval atzibur velo al kol ish viish. So the Rambam is saying that there are mitzvahs which the Torah puts very much up front, and you have to remember these mitzvahs and try to fulfill them whenever you can. But, says the Rambam, the mitzvah is imposed and incumbent upon the tzibur, not on each individual. Kimo, and the Rambam gives you examples. Number one, binyan beis habachira. Number two, akomas melech. So I don't have to appoint the melech. The tzibur of Klal Yisrael has to appoint the melech. I don't have to build the beis hamikdash. Can imagine... imagine me going up, okay, today it's very political, but I would go up to the rabbis and start knocking things. So people, what are you doing? I'm building the base. Something. Who appointed you? I mean, we love you, you're great, Rabbi Berzon, blah, 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 but who appointed you to represent the tzibur, to build the base on Mikdash? And then the Rambam says, V'achrosas zaro shalamolek. Now again, I can't always twist the Rambam's arm based on what he writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos, but I could call it the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. And the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvah seems to be quite outspoken about the fact that the mitzvah of Hachrosa, Zaro Shalamolik, does not apply to each Yachid.
Right.
Okay, now the exciting news would be, can we superimpose this on the Sefer HaChinuch? And again, we're going to read the Sefer HaChinuch in a minute, but again, I just want to go through the, you know, the geschmack, or the, you know, enjoy the benefit of the theory of it. In theory, if we would accept this approach, and... what shall I say, clone it on to the Sefer HaChinuch, then we can answer the Minchas Chinuch's question. Minchas Chinuch wants to know, why does the Sefer HaChinuch say that women are exempt from Zechiras HaMolek? Because they're not chayav in Melchemes HaMolek. Well, the Mishnah says in Sota, Afilu Kali Yotzis Michupasa. The answer is Kali Yotzis Michupasa, not Midin Melchama, but Midin the expanded mitzvah, which is the Chomas Yachid, outside the framework of Melchama. But guess what? That only applies in the case of Losachai called the Shama. But it doesn't apply in the case of Amolek. So what are we left with then in the case of Amolek? A Chovas Tzibur. And if it's a Chovas Tzibur, women are not obligated in the Chovas Tzibur because La Benos Molchama Ninu, and hence they're not obligated in the mitzvah of Amolek, they're not obligated in the mitzvah of Zechiras Amolek. That could be a wonderful answer to the Minchas Chinuch's question, Athena, except for one problem. How do we read the Sefer HaChinuch? So here he has two readings, which I wanted to research with you gentlemen together, of how to read the Sefer HaChinuch. And this you'll see on page Resh Yutes, the top left paragraph of Hina. Alright, so we're going to open up the Sefer HaChinuch to Mitzvah Tuf Resh Dalet. We have it open, I think, already, right? Tuf Resh Dalet, yes, no?
Yes.
Okay.
Right here.
So I'm going to read to you one particular text of the Sefer HaChinuch, one particular version, and you're going to tell me if you have that version or not. It's Taveinu Limcho Zaro Shalamolek V'zos min ha-mitzvos ha-mutolos al ha-tzibur. Yes, no? So far so good?
No.
You don't have that at all?
There's a lot more in here.
Yeah, I know there's a lot more, but that line doesn't even appear on your text at all. Wow. Okay. So that's interesting. Because at this point he takes a break and he adds the following footnote, and he says, Hare desfirle lachina karama, the mitzvahs mechias malog, havichobas mulchama, sheinu utelos ki im al hatzibur. So that's all based on a line which you don't even have in your text.
Wait. We have in Dinei HaMitzvah, Behemavorim Beperk Shmini Misota, the Zot Min HaMitzvot HaMutalot Al HaTzibur.
Oh, that's the only line I need right now.
Okay, so right? Say it. There's a later on.
Yeah,
okay, later. Okay. I didn't tell you it was at the beginning or at the end. I don't have in front of me the Sefer HaChinuch. I only have a quote of one line, and I just want to know if that line appears in your editions of the Sefer HaChinuch. And he writes, Zot Min HaMitzvot HaMutalot Al HaTzibur. Yes?
Yes.
You have such a thing.
Yes, exactly.
And the word Zos is referring to Amalek, is it not? I mean, what's the name of this mitzvah, right? Tov Resh
Dalet.
Does he have the word Nitzaveinu? He doesn't even have that word. Yeah? Nitzaveinu Limchol Zara Shel Amalek. Okay, so you want to underline those words, and then you want to fast forward to the end of this mitzvah, where he says, Zos Min HaMitzvah Samutol HaSalat Tzibur. So at this point, Rabosai, we're getting very excited, because what the Chinuch might be saying, again, we're going to see another gears in a second, is that the mitzvah of Amolek exhausts itself in a mitzvah al hatzibur, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that would reflect the Rambam. Now again, the Sefer Chinuch has already committed himself in the case of Zayin Amamim to a chiyuv al kol yachid v'yachid. Mm-hmm. Let's see where that Sefer Chinuch is. Okay, I'm not going to find it right now, of course, when I need it, but Beli Neder will find it, I promise you that. That's not an issue. In the mitzvah of Zayin Amamim, he says, Bol Yodo, you have to... Oh, Tav Chav Hei, I think we read it before. Okay, you have Tav Chav Hei?
Yeah.
And he says there, of the overall, Ubol Yodo, Echad Man V'yoch Lahargo. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's there.
Yeah, there is a Zahara.
I mean, there are three key words over there which we're going to get back to later. Belisha is talking with over. You have that? Okay. Oh. But now we have a problem. Let's go back to Tav Resh Dalet. Don't lose your place on Tav Chav Hey. We have to keep both of them open. And when we get to Tav Resh Dalet, we have what's called Dfusim Acherim. Now, I'm assuming that the Dfusim Acherim is what you have in front of you. Again, only because in the past, what I found is that extra words in the Chinuch appear in the voweled Chinuch that don't appear in the classical Sefer Chinuch. So I might be wrong in this case. But anyway, he has the following text, and I'm wondering if you have this text as well. Ube'emes, again, this is the text of the Sefer Chinuch in Dfusim Acherim, Ube'emes ki gam al kol yachid mi Yisrael hascharim mutal hachiyuv lahargam. Do you have such words?
I do.
You do? You have it?
Yeah.
And in the vowel one you don't have it? I was hoping it would be in the vowel one. Because
gam al kol yachid mi Yisrael hascharim mutal hachiyuv lahargam la'abda minoheir.
Overall, a few lines later, he says, "Overall, Zev Bol Yodu Echad Mizar Shabbat VeLahargo Bitel Mitzvahs Aseh." You have such a thing?
Yes.
Wow.
So take a look. Echad Mizar Amalek VeYishti Pek VeYadol Hargo VeLo Harago
Go
Bitel Aseh
Zeh or Zu Zeh, whatever it says over there. From both sides, at this point, all the cards have fallen in front of our eyes, because if you accept this Girsa, which is not the Girsa of the old time Sefer Chinuch Svarim, but rather the new ones, which are based on manuscripts, then the Sefer Chinuch is applying the same yardstick that he applied back in Tav Chav Hei in the mitzvah of Zayin Amamim to the mitzvah of Amalek. And he's saying that in Amalek, like in Zavon Amamim, is a second dimension to the mitzvah of Zayin Amamim. And that is that in Mechemes Amalek, there's number one, a mitzvah on the tzibur to go out and battle against Amalek, and number two, there's a mitzvah which is incumbent upon every single individual, like any other mitzvah, Chovas Yachid, and if an Amaleki comes by and you don't kill him, then you violate this mitzvah. And therefore, Lahach Girsa, if you accept that Girsa, the Sefer Chinuch, as we have it in our editions, we're back to the question of the Minchas Chinuch. How could the Sefer Chinuch exempt women from the mitzvah of Milchemes Amalek, which is not only a Chovas Milchama, but it's also a Chovas Yachid, if you see an Amaleki and you're called upon to kill him? Is that, excuse me, there's no reason why women should be exempt from that in light of the Mishnah Sota and the Sefer Chinuch, who says that the mitzvah of Amalek is a Milchemes mitzvah, it doesn't require the Tilos Rishus, then women should be obligated in the mitzvah of Amalek. Again, maybe not in the front lines, but certainly in the back line. He has another question at the end of this presentation. He says that the Sefer Chinuch in Mitzvah Tafresh Dalid, who adds a mitzvah al kol yachid v'yachid b'Yisrael hazcharim is mutal achiv lahargam, and then nashim enam chayomos b'mitzvahs mechias Amalek, why should this be any different than Zayin Amamim, where the Sefer HaChinuch himself commits himself that women are obligated in Zayin Amamim? So I both said, at this point, before we go on to the next Vehanira, which will take us to Reish Chav, we're at a blank, a blank wall? No, what's the word?
A brick wall.
Not a blank wall, a brick wall. Right? An impasse. Because now we don't know the difference between Zayin Amamim and Amalek, according to the Chinuch, with regard to Nashim. They're both Milchemes Mitzvah. they both have a double element of a Chovas Yachin in addition to Chovas Tzibur, which is outside of the Mesgeret of Melchama. This guy comes to you, he's a Kanani, you have to kill him. He's an Amaleki, you have to kill him. Why shouldn't women be Chayav? And you already committed yourself, Rabbi Chinuch, to the position that with regard to Zayin Amamin, the women are obligated in this mitzvah. Why not assume the same thing with regard to Amalek? That's the brick wall that we're facing right now. And in this paragraph on Nira, he's going to take a stab at it. Let's see if he can convince us that he's right. Vanira Lomar. Rabose, do you have my underlines? Did they come out in the photocopy?
On this paragraph, I don't see any.
Oh, you don't see any. Okay. It could be that we photocopied before my underlines. Again, the underlines are there just to make life a little easier for us, because I try to highlight the main points so that we don't have to go through the tedious work of reading the whole thing together as a group. And what he suggests is the following. Svir Leila Chinuch. This is about 8 lines down from the top of this paragraph. Dechovas milchoma ba'molek shiny mishar chovas milchoma. Demutol gakal atzibur. Right? That, as we saw in the defusive that we have, the mitzvah of Melchama and Amalek goes a step beyond, and it obligates even the Yochid to go out and destroy Amalek. Yes, an Amaleki comes, I'm obligated to take him away. He says the following, and we'll see how he develops the sources for this. The Pasuk adds 2 words in Parshas Bishalach. It says Milchama Lashem Bamalek, and what are the next 2 words?
Midardar.
So if you turn to page Reish Chav, he wants to build castles in the sky. Again, he's going to build himself based on a mechilta and a psikta on these 2 words, Midardar. What does Midardar tell me? Midardar tells me that in every generation there's an ongoing mitzvah to destroy Amalek. In other words, as a universal definition of Melchama, not in the case of Amalek, Amalek's going to be the exception, if we apply the universal yardstick to Melchama, then there are moments in time which you could pinpoint that's called Shas Melchama, Ace Melchama. And the Chiyuv Melchama is engendered at those particular moments in time. Mm-hmm. The exception to that rule is going to be Amalek. And that's derived from the Pasuk Midar Dar. Let's see the Mechilta at the end of Bishalach. You remember that David HaMelech kills the Nar Amaleki. And why is that? So the Mechilta says, Nizkar David Biosa Shom Hashem Nemar L'Moshe Rabbeinu, etc., etc., that with regard to any umos ha'olam, if a guy says he's willing to be misgayer, yikabluhu, but mi beso shal amolek lo yikabluhu. So that even though this amoleki was, at least according to his claim, a ger, David HaMelech remembered what Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, instructed him that we don't accept gerim from amolek. And therefore, the geirus of this Nar Amaleki is totally unacceptable and valid, and therefore, we have to put him to death. And David HaMelech declares the following. Damcha al Roshecha. And the Mechilta ends up with the following words. Lekach Nemar Midar Dar. Meaning, how did David HaMelech know to kill this Nar Amaleki? How did he know that we have to kill this Nar? Number one, he remembers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe not to accept Gerim from Amalek. Number two, he had this Pasuk in mind, according to the Mechilta, Midar Dar, which means that with regard to Amalek, we don't have to wait until that moment of Ace Milchama, but rather, even if it's not Ace Milchama, we have to kill even an individual of Amalek. And that's derived from the Pasuk Midar Dar. So again, Rabosai, we have now two, if you call it, exceptions to the general rule with regard to Amalek vis-a-vis other Melchamas. Other Melchamas require Shas Melchama. In the case of Amalek, it's Nidar Dar. Number two, other Melchamas require are built on a Chovas Tzibur. In the case of Amalek, it's a Chovas Yachid, and this individual should be killed because of the mitzvah of Amalek. And the Mechilta derives that this mitzvah of Amalek is an ongoing mitzvah. It's not restricted to Eis Melchama from the Pasuk Midar, Midar Dar. Okay. Now we fast forward to the paragraph that starts Vehine. And he says the following. Why does the Torah add the word Lashem? You remember we've had occasion to discuss this in the past. In the Parsha B'Shalach it says Milchama Lashem Be'amolek, which means Al Pi Hashem. Perhaps we could suggest the following. The mitzvah of Milchemes Amalek is unique. Why is it unique? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that this mitzvah is Lashem. Lashem means Midar Dar. It's a constant mitzvah and it always applies. I don't have to set up a Shas Milchama. And what that means is that as far as other Milchamas are concerned, we require a Melech to go out to battle. We require perhaps an Urim V'Tumim. There may be many requirements. Why? Because we have to set up an Eis Milchama. But here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares Milchama Lashem Midar Lidar, the Torah's Milchama is a Torah Tmidis. It's an ongoing mitzvah with regard to the Milchama of Hashem Midar Lidar. Now, Rashi tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chaf that with regard to a Milchemes Mitzvah, we don't need the Rishus of Bezdin. Only with regard to a Milchemes Rishus, we need Bezdin. So Rashi would say, perhaps, that Amalek is simply a Milchemes Rishus, and therefore Amalek would require Bezdin to give the consent to go out to battle against Amalek. Okay, but that's the logic of Rashi, who assumes that Milchemes Amalek is not a mitzvah Milchama, and the laws of Milchama which apply to Milchemes Mitzvah do not apply to Amalek. But as far as the Rambam is concerned, the Rambam writes in Perek Hei Milchus Molochim that a Milchemes Mitzvah is Ein Yotzin LeMilchama El Al Pi Melech. And the Rambam codifies this in Sefer HaMitzvahs, in the Shroshim. He writes that a Milchama, even a Milchemes Mitzvah, requires a Melech. Ein Yotzin LeMilchama El Al Pi Melech. So the Rambam over and over again emphasizes that we need a Melech to go out to battle a Milchemes Mitzvah. Rashi says that in regard to Milchemes Mitzvah, we need the consent. I'm sorry. With regard to Milchemes Rishus, we need the consent of Bezdin of Ayin Aleph. With regard to Milchemes Mitzvah, we don't need the consent of a Beis Din Shel Alin Aleph. Okay. Now he says the following. According to the Rambam in Hilchus Melachim, we say the following, that the king, in a case of Milchemes Mitzvah, can take the initiative without Beis Din Shel Alin Aleph to go out and fight a Milchemes Mitzvah. In the case of Milchemes Rishus, the king needs the permission, the consent of a Beis Din Shel Ayin Aleph. Hare, at the end of this paragraph, Sheyesh Shame shall yitzil mulchama v'dina yitzil mulchama shamelech motzi ha'am u'milchemes mitzvah. It's not enough that the melech goes out to battle, but we need also the consent of Bezdin shall ayin aleph. Kol zeh, this is where we have to underline it, b'chol ha'milchamos. Aval b'milchemes ha'molek, if we take this mechilta, that there's an ongoing ace milchama, and therefore we don't need a Bezdin Shalayin Aleph to go out to battle against the Amalekim, or Melech, or a king to go out to battle against. Rashi would require in most Milchamas a Bezdin. In the case of Milchamas Amalek, the Rambam would require a Melech. El kol echad v'echad lochem, on the last line of the page, lochem me'atzmo im Amalek. So we have a radical conclusion here based on the Mechilta that the normal requirements of Milchemes Amalek, which again, they're not necessarily the same identical requirements that apply to every Milchama, but in any event, the Rambam seems to insist we need a Melech, Rashi would seem to insist that we need Bezdin. All this is suspended with regard to Amalek based on the Mechilta. The Mechilta says that David HaMelech was able and obligated to kill this individual Amaleki, and that means that kol echad v'echad lochem bi'atzmo im Amalek. Ulefi ha'mevuar, if you take a look now on page Reish Chaf Aleph, we can add the following, that we require a melech according to the Rambam for dinei milchama, correct? But as far as Amalek is concerned, there's not only a din milchama, but there's this new halacha that seems to completely obviate the requirements of milchama, and that's derived from Idar Lidar, and we don't even need a melech. So whereas the melech has to lead a king out to battle, the king has to lead the people out to battle in a milchemes mitzvah, according to the Rambam, there's a possibility, again, not in the Rambam's frame of reference, that in the case of Amalek, there might be a requirement to kill an individual Amaleki, like David killing that Amaleki, that Nar Amaleki, even though it's not within the framework of Milchama. And if it's not within the framework of Milchama, the requirements and the conditions that have to be met for Milchama don't apply to Amalek. And the most profound requirement that is dropped is the Ace Milchama. We don't require Ace Milchama. Now he says the following, that Milchemes Amalek is different than every other Milchama, the lo avi chiyuv rak al atzibur, that's not only an obligation of a Milchama incumbent on the tzibur, al kol yachid v'yachid, and again we saw that in the Tefusim Chadoshim of the Chinuch, that just like in Zainamim, also in Amalek, there's a chiyuv al kol yachid v'yachid, in addition to the chiyuv on the tzibur, is the rak hecha the yeshem yitzil Milchama, when the mitzvah requires a shem, in other words, a halachic category of yitzia l'milchama, which is a chovas tzibur to go out to war, and then we're going to require that the melech take us out to war. B'milchemes Amalek, lo be'inan yitzia l'milchama, but rather we're always in a situation of milchama, and that chiyuv now falls on each yachid v'yachid. Okay, now let's swing back to the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tov Chav Hei, with regard to Zayin Amin, writes, Mi shebo liyodo echad mehem v'yochel ahargo, mebli sheyistakin v'dovav lo harogo bitol esei. Now, with regard to Mechias HaMolek, the Chinuch writes that al kol yochid v'yochid miyisrael mutol achiyuv, again, that's the Sfarim Chadoshim that I call the Dfusim Achirim, lo hargom, and yet, with regard to Milchemes Amalek, the Sefer HaChinuch does not add the following clause, which he added in the case of Zayin Amamim, and that is, Mibli Sheyistaken.
Right, it's not here.
So why is it that in Zayin Amamim, he adds a condition that you only have this Chovas Yochid to kill the Knani because you're not endangering your life? With regard to Amalek, he doesn't add that clause, that condition. Tzarech Biur. It's the same question that we asked as far as Noshim is concerned. Now we're asking as far as endangering your life. Ulam lamavuar asi shapir de mitzvah hachroma sayin amamin hecha de bali yado echad mehem shalom b'shas milchama ein olav chiyuv milchama rak mitzvah bi'alma. So now the mitzvah of losachaya called neshama, which creates a responsibility on the yachid, that has nothing to do with milchama. Because again, we're not talking about an ace milchama, and Zayin Amin requires an ace milchama. It's not the ace milchama just because this Kanani appears. That's not called an ace milchama. So it's a separate individual mitzvah unto itself, like any other mitzvah, of destroying every individual member of the Zayin Amin. Oh, now what rule applies to every single mitzvah with the exception of milchama and the three cardinal sins, right? With the exception of milchama. Do I put my life into danger for a mitzvah? Obviously not. Right? So therefore, the mitzvahs, the Sefer HaChinuch, when he gets to the mitzvah of Zayin Amamim in Tav Chav Hei, he adds the clause of the Yochel Argo Biblishi Yistakin B'dovar. Oh, Masha'en came in mitzvahs Mechias HaMolek Dechol Chiyu Vafilu Shalom V'shas Milchama Eino Ella Milchovas Milchama Lilchom in Amolik. Verakta Chovas Milchama Zu After Havi Al Kol Yachid V'Yachid. In other words, with regard to Amolik, the dinim of Milchama change, and you don't require an ace Milchama, and even Shalom ace Milchama, there's a mitzvah Milchama to fight the battle against Amolik. But the radical difference here is in the dinim Milchama, whereas the dinim Milchama in general, in all other milchamas, apply only to the tzibur. There's no din of milchama that I have to fight a battle against the yechidim in any milchama, with the exception of Amalek. So if we take the Dfusim Chadoshim of the Sefer HaChinuch, and he says that if an Amaleki is Bal Yado, you have to battle against him and destroy him, that mitzvah is the mitzvah Mechias Amalek, Milchamas Amalek, just that we don't require an ace milchama, we don't even require a tzibur, we require just an individual that we can identify as an Amaleki. So it means that when David killed the Nar Amaleki, he was doing so in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Milchemes Amalek. Ah, you'll ask me, how is this a Milchemes Amalek when there's no ace milchama, there's no tzibur that's being commanded to go out to battle? The answer is, because midar lidar, as the Mechilta says, David HaMelech had to kill the Amaleki because milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midar lidar. So there is a mitzvah milchama, but it applies to each yachid v'yachid. So again, here's this chakira. When we say, according to the Dfusim Chadoshim, in the Sefer HaChinuch, that both with regard to the mitzvah of Zayin Amamin and with regard to the mitzvah of Amalek, the mitzvah is incumbent not just on the tzibur, but also on the yachid. Yesh lachkar, how do we define that? Is that an extension of the mitzvah of Milchama, or is it a brand new mitzvah unto itself, independent? If it's an independent mitzvah, then it would only apply if you're not placing your life into danger. If it's part of the mitzvah Milchama, then the mitzvah Milchama by definition requires you to place your life into danger. So why did the Sefer HaChinuch, according to the Dfusim Chadoshim, when he arrived at the mitzvah of Amalek, he doesn't mention im lo yistakein b'dover, that condition, which he explicitly mentions in Zayin Amamin? The answer is that in Milchemes Amalek we have a mitzvah Milchama Bechol Eis, Hamutelis al Kol Yachid V'Yachid, even though it's not the tzibur going out to battle against the Amalek, but we as individuals have to fight that battle because Milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midor dor, and therefore even if it means putting your life in danger, then you'd have to do so. Ah, the Asi Shapir Hadinoshim Pturas mi mitzvahs Mechias Amalek. What was that question? The Sefer HaChinuch obligates women in the mitzvah Zayin Amamin. Why? Because it's a mitzvah, it's a milchemes mitzvah, and a milchemes mitzvah and women are included. So how can he exempt women from the mitzvah of Amalek? The answer is that in the context of the mitzvah of Zayin Amamin, we have a mitzvah al-yachid. And that mitzvah al-yachid is an independent mitzvah. And insofar it's an independent mitzvah, we don't apply the principle of noshim la'venos milchaminim. And insofar as it's not a mitzvah seishas man grama, we're going to obligate women. But when we get to the mitzvah of Amalek, what we're saying now is even the chovas yachid is a chovas milchama. And therefore, since milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midar dar, and David HaMelech has to kill this Amaleki, even though there's no chovas tzibur and there's no milchama, but that also is a milchama, and it's incumbent upon the individual, then women are exempt. Why? Because now we're going to activate and apply the principle of Noshim Lavanos Milchama Ninu. They're not obligated in the mitzvah Milchama. Again, in the case of Zamin Amin, there's another mitzvah which is independent. Again, it's included in the general rubric of Zayin Amin, but it's Lo Sachai called the Shoma as an individual. That's a separate mitzvah. And as, insofar as it's an independent mitzvah, we don't apply the principle of what? Noshim Lav Benos Milchama. So it's not a mitzvah Seishas Groma, and therefore, hence, the Chinuch says that women are obligated in the mitzvah to kill a Knani if he shows up. But if it's an independent mitzvah, it's not part of Milchama, the Sefer HaChinuch has to add the condition that what's the clause? That ain't all your stocking bedover, because as a separate independent mitzvah, you don't have to put your life into danger. Now we fast forward to Amalek. Here in the case of Amalek, number one, the Sefer HaChinuch says women are exempt. At the same time, he says, Kol Abal Yodo Echid Mehem, according to the Fusim Kadoshim, he would violate this mitzvah if he doesn't kill them. And at the same time, the Sefer HaChinuch writes that women are exempt. So why are women exempt? And the answer is that the Chovas Yochid is also a Chovas Milchama because of the principle of Milchama Hashem Ba'amalek Midar Lidar. And now the Torah is saying that this mitzvah Milchama is an ongoing mitzvah. We don't have to gather the troops and go out as a tzibur to Milchama because we know now it's the Ace Milchama. No, this is every moment of time. It's a continuous mitzvah Milchama against Amalek. And if it's a continuous mitzvah against Amalek in every point in time, we don't need a tzibur. We don't need the classic framework of a milchama, that each individual has to fight that milchama. Ah, the mitzvahs mechias amolek, the kol chiyuva, ein rakli lochem im amolek, the entire chiyuv, whether it's the tzibur as a tzibur, whether it's the yachid as a yachid, is fighting the battle of amolek, meaning the mitzvah milchama, is chayev lesakin es atzmo, he has to put his life into danger. So that's a tremendous chumrah. By expanding and extending the mitzvah of Milchamas Amalek to include even the Yachid. Because now the Yachid is going to have to put his life into danger. But the flip side is the Kula. The Mela Noshim, if this is all one indivisible mitzvah, it's Gush Echad, Mikshachas of Milchama, and that Milchama is incumbent both on the Tzibur as a Tzibur to go out to battle, and also on the Yachid, then Noshim Lav Benos Milchama Ninu, and there's the Kula in Milchamas Amalek, that women are not included in the mitzvah of Milchamas Amalek. Rabosei, I have to tell you, it's absolutely brilliant, and for creativity it gets an olive plus plus, but I don't buy into it, personally. I mean, I'm not trying to prejudice you, well maybe I am, because it's very hard for me to accept. I mean, sometimes, you know, there are what you call the Yud Gimel Ikrei Adas, you know, there's certain things that you've been trained from your childhood, and you know, they're immovable movers, you know. And I've been trained from my childhood that the word Milchama, by definition, means the tzibur. You can't tell me that there's a Milchama, that if I kill an Amaleki, I'm fighting a Milchama. That's not a Milchama. He's willing to expand the horizons in his very creative approach. And I've mentioned to you his name in the past, Rav Yitzhak Sirotskin. He's very original, as you all know. And he's willing to establish two principles that can coexist. And he doesn't see them as mutually exclusive. Number one, a mitzvah milchama. Number two, a yachid who's fighting a milchama. And he's fulfilling the mitzvah milchama. And it works in two ways. L'chumra l'kula. It's going to work l'chumra because now we're going to say you have to put your life into danger. And number two, it's going to work l'kula because it's going to be that women are exempt. But imagine, Rabosei, I'm going to tell you that there's an Amaleki walking through this door. And, you know, they're filming you, and the enemies are about to, you know, and you go ahead and you kill the guy. I mean, your life is going to last for a few seconds. You have to kill him. Why? Because it's a Melchama Hashem Ba'amalek Midor Lidor. Very hard to accept. So again, Rabosei, just to summarize, we had three different answers, or three different approaches to try to answer the kasha of the chinuch, the minchas chinuch of the chinuch. How could the chinuch maintain on the one hand that women are exempt from Milchamas Amalek, and on the other hand, the Mishnah says in Sota that a woman is obligated to the mitzvah Milchama? So the following answers we suggested. Answer number one, which is a total flop, is to assume that according to the chinuch, the mitzvah of Milchama only applies to Zayin Amamin, it doesn't apply to Milchamas Amalek. That's impossible, because the Sefer HaChinuch goes on record as classifying the mitzvah of Amalek as a Milchamas mitzvah, hence you don't require Netilus Rishus from Bezdin. Then we had the second approach. The second approach was to say that women are obligated in the mitzvah of of Amalek in a totally different way than they're obligated in the mitzvah Zayin Amamin. Their chiyuv in Zayin Amamin is the how do we call it? The behind the lines? What do we call it?
Support.
The support, okay, behind the lines. And that applies in the case of Zayin Amamin because the Sefer Chinuch goes out of his way to point out that this mitzvah applies al kol yochid v'yochid outside the framework of milchama, and women now have the obligation afilu kalamichu pasa, even in the case of Zayin Amamim, to participate in this battle, but not in the front lines. And that's because the mitzvah is al kol yochid v'yochid. But as we medayik in the Rambam, according to that approach, that the Rambam omits mention in Amalek that kol yochid shebol yodo, he has to kill him. In the case of Amalek, it's purely a mitzvah milchama. There's no mitzvah called yachid v'yachid, and therefore there's no mitzvah in the back lines that could apply to women. This too totally flopped. Well, I shouldn't say totally, because it really depends upon the different texts in the Chinuch. But according to our text in the Chinuch, just like in the case of Zayin Amamin, there's a double mitzvah, double header, we called it. So too, the Chinuch would maintain that Mitzvah Samolik also is a double-headed mitzvah. And it also has a dimension of kol yachid v'yachid. And that's the tfusim of the Sefer Chinuch, that if an Amaleki comes along, you're obligated to kill that Amaleki, and therefore there's this broader scope definition of Milchama Samolik like we had already in Zayin Amamim, and it would include not only the frontline battle, but the yachid in the back line. So therefore women should be obligated in the mitzvah of Milchemes HaMolek to the same extent that they're obligated in the mitzvah of Zayin Amamin. Now we're approaching it from a third approach, and we're asking the following question. Yes, there is a separate mitzvah and another dimension to the mitzvah in both cases of Zayin Amamin and HaMolek of a Chovas Yochid, but there's a fundamental difference. In the case of Zayin Amamim, the Chovas Yochid to kill a Knani is a new mitzvah unto itself, meaning it dances to its own tune, it's independent, it's not Milchama Haraya. The Sefer HaChinuch says you're not allowed to put your life into danger to kill this Knani, and therefore, as a separate independent mitzvah, it's not Milchama. Women are obligated because it's a mitzvah Seishein Azman Grom, and it's not part of the mitzvah Milchama, and it doesn't do any injustice to the principle of Noshim Labanos Milchama. In Amalek, the Torah is extending and expanding the mitzvah of Milchama, and the mitzvah of Milchama now applies and is incumbent upon a Yachid. That when I face an Amaleki, I'm obligated in the mitzvah of Milchama. I, there's no Melech, so Zayin HaZoy, there's no Melech. I, there's no Tzibur, there's no Tzibur. I, there's no Eis Milchama, there's no Eis Milchama. This is Milchama Lashem, Ba'amolek, Dor Dor. And the paradigm of that in Tanakh is David HaMelech killing the Nar Amaleki, Ger Amaleki, because we can't accept his Gerus. And number two, he is an Amaleki, I have to kill him. Why? Because, says the Mechilta, because the Pasuk says, Milchama Lashem Ba'amalek Midar Dar. That's how the Mechilta justifies David HaMelech's actions. And it means that there's a Milchama, even when there's no Ace Milchama, there would be a Milchama even without Rishus Bezdin, without the king and the whole nine yards. And that mitzvah Milchama is incumbent upon the Yachid, and forces him and obligates the Yachid to fight that battle even if he puts his life into danger. However, the Nafkamina is going to be Nosh. In the case of Noshim, the Sefer HaChinuch goes on record as saying women are exempt from the mitzvah Milchemes HaMolek, and the answer is because even the Chovas Yachid is a Chovas Milchama, and women are lav b'neis Milchama. Okay, Rabbo, so what I want to do, and again, you know, this is exhausting work, but what I'd like to do is push myself a little bit further and at least get a jump start for Siman Zayin. Now, once again, you don't have my underlines here in Siman Zayin, but you do have the pages, am I right? You have Reish Chav Aleph and Reish Chav Beis.
Are there any copies of that?
We had a whole bunch of copies. Maybe, yeah, on this table. Okay, then?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please. I'm sorry. I got so excited about this.
Whether women are obligated in the against the seven nations, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu told the wives of Reuben Hatamanasha, you can stay over on the other side. You don't have to come over in the war. That they're not obligated in it. There's no obligation at all for women in the mitzvahs against the seven nations.
So you're asking a kasha on the chinuch.
Yeah.
How could the chinuch say that the mitzvah of Zayin Amim applies even to women when Hashem said to the women of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuben, you stay here on Eivra Yard?
That's a special case. That's a special case.
That's the war.
I would say the following. That there's halach of chalutzim, right? That there's an obligation that was that the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, imposed upon Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Lot says chalutzim. They would have to go at the front lines to battle the Zayin Amim. But as far as the balance of Klal Yisrael, the other Shvatim, they don't have this special mitzvah of chalutzim. So it's possible the following, that with regard to the balance of the Shvatim, they are fighting a classical, you know what, I think we'll be smarter after we read the next piece. Because I was about to give away, you know, let the cat out of the bag. This piece, which is called Siman Zion, is, if I could, you know, if Rabbi Sirotsky would ask me for a grade, I would say it's even more creative than anything we've seen until now. And I'm sort of trembling here because it's mind-boggling how revolutionary is his approach. He wants to say the following. Why is it, again, this is all based on that diuk which we can argue about, but in any event, why is it that the Rambam in Halacha Dalet in Perikei Milchus Melachim emphasizes that Kol Habo Liyado with regard to Zayin Amamim you have to kill him, and in Halacha Hey when he gets to the mitzvah Amalek he completely omits that requirement? It seems that the Rambam makes a fundamental difference between Zayin Amamim and the mitzvah of Amalek, whereas the mitzvah of Amalek is incumbent upon the Tzibur, and you don't have to kill an Amalek who comes b'yochid. Again, that's against the chinuch, the way we have it in the Tfusim Chadashim. And the Rambam is outspoken about this in Sefer HaMitzvahs, and he says that all these mitzvahs, and he gives a list of them, are incumbent only upon the Tzibur, and one of the cases on this list is Hachros HaZaro Shalom Marek. The Rambam holds that the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is incumbent only on the Tzibur. What do we do, according to the Rambam, with David HaMelech? The Mechilta says that David HaMelech killed this Nair HaMitzri as part of the mitzvah of Milchamol Hashem Ba'amolek Midar Dar. Now, wait a second. How can the Mechilta quote the pasuk of Milchamol Hashem Ba'amolek when the Rambam holds that the mitzvah of Amolek is exclusively incumbent upon the Tzibur with regard to Milchama? And even if you don't accept our deek in the Rambam and Sefer Melachim, but the Rambam is outspoken about that in Sefer HaMitzvahs. Meaning, how do we reconcile the two prepositions? Preposition number one is that David HaMelech killed the Amaleki as part of the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. That seems to be quite explicit in the Mechilta. On the other hand, the Rambam sheet, at least in Sefer HaMitzvahs explicitly, is that there's no mitzvah of Amalek with regard to an individual. The mitzvah is only incumbent upon the tzibur within the framework of Milchama. Question is clear. Well, now, we quote a psikta. The psikta wants to know about Shmuel killing Agag. Right? The pasuk says that Shmuel, Vayomer Shmuel, Keshem Shekol Enosh, Kilo Enoshim Charbucha, Kein Tesakel, Minoshim Imecha, Vayishasef Shmuel Es Agok. Right? We're going to read it in the Haftorah. And the Psikta says that when Shmuel kills the Agag, Melech Agag Melech Hamolik, it says the following. This is the Psikta in Parsha Zohar. Keshem Shasisa LiYisrael b'Mitzrayim kach asisi l'cha. So within the context of Zechiras Amalek, the Psikta says that Shmuel announced that he's going to fulfill this mitzvah, you know, as we've been remembering what you did to us, what you perpetrated against us, Amalek, and now we're going to follow through and we're going to destroy you. you get the impression from the psikta, although it's not explicit, that Shmuel kills Agag as part of the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. Right? Because he says that just like we have the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek when Amalek attacked us leaving Mitzrayim, so too I'm going to do to you and I'm going to fulfill that mitzvah. So what is this all about? Again, just to summarize, the Mechilta in Parashat B'Shalach seems to assume that David HaMelech is fulfilling the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek when he kills the Amaleki. And the Psikta seems to assume that Shmuel is fulfilling the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek when he kills Agag. He says, just 1 second here. He says, Tzarech Iyun. Okay, if you're on Reish Chaf Beis, it's the last two lines in the first paragraph, the major paragraph on the right side. Tzarech Iyun al Rambam, Shekosav de Mitzvahs Mechias Amalek, Mutol Gak al Atzivur. So why is Shmuel killing Agag? Why is David Amel killing the Nar Amalek? So he suggests the following. This is all based on the Nesivus. The Nesivus has a commentary on Megillus Esther. And in the ninth perek, Nikalu HaYehudim Lishloch Yad B'mevakshei Ra'osam. Now wait a second. Mordechai and Esther are battling against whom? Amalek. Are they not? So why does the Pasuk say Mevakshei Ra'osam? Mevakshei Ra'osam means that we're fighting this battle. This, again, you and I never would have asked this question. You have to have the deceiver's brain or his taklut, you know, to even raise this question. Why does the pasuk say we have to kill these guys? Because they're Mevakshei Ra'osam.
Because you need a reason.
Yeah, as if to say you need a reason. Says the deceiver's, why not kill them? Simply because of the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek.
And why did Shmuel say that...
Right, that just like we fat a boy, right? There was shakel this and all that. So if you take a look on the top left column here on Reish Chaf Beis, he says the following, that the Nesivus is telling us something mind-boggling, that Melchama Lashem Ba'amolek Midar Dar means that Amalek in every generation are considered Mevakshei Ra'asam. And what that means is, get this, Rabosai, that there's a mitzvah to kill Amalek, not only because of the mitzvah of Milchemes Amalek, but that Midar Dar is telling us a brand new breakthrough. And that is, the Rambam in Perek Aleph Milchus Vlachim tells us that there are three categories of Milchemes Mitzvah. You remember this? The Sefer Chinuch also codifies this. Number one is Melchem of Shivas Amamim. Number two is Melchem of Amalek. And number three, there's Ezras Yisrael Miad Tsar Shebaleim. Which means that any enemy of the Jewish people, we have a mitzvah to fight against them and battle against them. That's what the Mechilta means that we derive from the Pasuk Midar Dar. That the Amalekim in every single generation are the enemies of the Jewish people. They constantly and perpetually have the status of Tzorerim LeYisrael. And therefore, we have a new mitzvah of Melchemes Amalek. Not the old mitzvah of Melchemes Amalek. That old mitzvah of Melchemes Amalek has various conditions that have to be met. And they depend upon different particular periods of time in Jewish history. And they emerge as a Chovas Tzibur with all the, according to the Rambam, all the conditions that have to be met. But now we're talking about a whole different entity of Midar Lidar. Now it's classified as a mitzvah not under Amalek, but under that category which the Rambam formulates in Perek Aleph Mihilchus Melachim, Ezras Yisrael Miad Tsar. Where do we see this? Where's the precedent? Says the Nesivus, we see it here in the Pasuk in Esther, when the Jewish people are fighting against Haman and all his cohorts. Nikolu Ahudim L'shloch Yad, B'mevakshei Ra'asam. We're going to kill them because of Mevakshei Ra'asam. It could very well be that the conditions necessary for Mitzvah Milchama did not apply at the time of Mordechai and Esther, and certainly not at the time that Shmuel... Shmuel's first. Shmuel kills the Agag Melech Amalek, and certainly not in the case of Vayishasa Shmuel. in all these experiences, what's happening is there's a mitzvah of milchama, but not b'taras amalek, but simply because of the definition of amalek, we classify amalek as mevakshei ra'asam, and that's true for every single generation. It comes out now that in the case of milchamas amalek, we have an overlap of two categories of milchamas mitzvah. Fighting a battle against amalek can be defined as a double mitzvah. It's number one, a milchamas mitzvah because it's milchamas amalek, and number two, it's a milchama against the tsar, shebolit tsar aleinu. And if you take a look at the end of this paragraph, he says, "Vizehu deka'amar b'hach kra denikalu ayehudim l'shloch yad b'mvakshei ra'asam d'hach milchama lo aysam mishum mitzvah el of mechias malaki im da'aysam milchemes ezras yisrael miyad tsar kevan de'amalekim tsarim l'yisrael tamid." That's called midar dar. So the true definition of Amaleki is he who is a tzorer es Yisrael b'chol dar v'dar. And now he asks a brilliant question. He says, if you take a look in Targum on Esther, it says that chol anoshim hargu b'dor shal mardach aviyester hayu Amalekim, that whatever the number is, let's say in Shushan the 75,000 on the second day, they were all Amalekim. That's what it says in the Targum. Upshuto, you think when you read the Targum that Hargo Osam Yishu Mitzvah Mechias Amalek. If all the Goyim that were killed by the Jewish people at the time of Esther and Mordechai, says the Targum, were all Amalekim, then Lechora, you're talking about the Mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. And that's the impression you get from the Psikta of Kahana. However, Tzorach Iyun, Tehine, Das HaYireim, according to the Yireim, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is incumbent upon a melech. At that time in Mordechai and Esther, there wasn't a melech. According to Smag, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek only applies at the time Mashiach. This was way before Mashiach showed up. In fact, to the best of my knowledge, he hasn't shown up yet. Although, maybe I have to open up Rut Sheva and find out. For the news briefs, maybe he did show up. In Cain, Lama Hargu Amalekim. How could the Targum say that we were in battle? And that seems to be indicated by the Psikta of the Rav Kana that we were in battle against the Amalekim. There is no mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, at least according to the Yireim, who says that you need a melech. And we said that the Rabbim also seems to indicate you need a melech. There was no melech. Number two, according to Smag, who was before Yemos HaMashiach. All ulam in the last four lines on this page, lefi amavur demikra demidar ledar nischadish damalekim mikri tamid tzorim liyisrael veika chiyuv lilchom imoim, not because of Amalek, not because of the mitzvah, the special mitzvah of chiyas Amalek, but because of Ezra's Yisrael miad tzor is lo lachamu imoim bedorah shel Mordechai v'Esther mishum mitzvahs mechias Amalek, but rak mishum milchemes Ezras Yisrael miad tsar. And that's the pasuk of Mevakshei Ra'asam. It's v'meila, it's not the mitzvah mechias Amalek, and all those conditions that we mentioned about Melech and Mashiach, they don't have to be fulfilled, because we're battling against the tzorim liYisrael, and that's the chiyuv of milchemes Ezras Yisrael miad tsar. That's what the psikta means, that midar dar, they fought a battle against the Amalekim, because the Amalekim are considered in every generation the Tzorim Tamid. And therefore we can understand why it is that even if Bnei Yisrael didn't have a king, they would still be required to fulfill the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek under a different category, namely Milchemes Ezras Yisrael Miad Tsar. And for that mitzvah, we don't need a king. We don't need a melech. That's not a precondition. In other words, we don't need to get the reshus of a melech. And here he quotes the Ramban the Ramban has a work that's called Mitzvah Saseh, or Mitzvah Lo Saseh Sheshachan HaRambam, and in Mitzvah Lo Taseh Shin Lamed Vav, he writes, Mitzvah Al HaMelech, O Al HaShofet, O Misha Ha'am Birshuso, anyone who has control over the people, meaning if the Jewish people have a leader and everyone in the Jewish nation looks up to that leader for guidance, then it's a mitzvah for that leader, Lo Tziyam V'Milchama. And the Ramban goes on to apply this to Mordechai, that the people of Israel accepted Mordechai as their leader, at least most of them did, and therefore came and shamed Bershus Mordechai, therefore he could take them out to battle. And this is phenomenal, because we always assume that to go out to battle against Milchama, against Amalek, you need a melech, or you need Bezdin, or you need Mashiach, or whatever the conditions might be. But now we're saying, according to Ramban, in Mitzvah Lo Seh Shochan HaRambam, that there's a mitzvah to go out to battle against Amalek, like Mordechai did, simply because he was the leader of the people of Israel. How do you explain that? But the answer is, if there's a Chiddush in Amalek, in the Pasuk of Midor Lidor, that's considered Tzorim LeYisrael, it's always considered Eis Melchama, then we have to turn to our leaders and ask them, can we fulfill this mitzvah, protecting ourselves against the Tzorim? And the answer is, that's what Mordechai said.
The Tzorim has to be a clear and present danger now.
Right, right, and they were armed, you know, these were armed adversaries of the Jewish people.